Oh, this is great. I have been really blessed to hear all the different things that we are working on and planning and doing. And it is a family. And sometimes you get to the place where it's like today we have a baby shower to go to this afternoon that Deanne's hosting at her house for Nikki. And, you know, you got to choose after a while, which thing am I going to go to? Because I want to go to everything all the time. So anyway, I'm very blessed that you all are here today and that we have a short time at least to get into the Word. I'm going to be talking a little bit today about putting on the armor of God. And the first piece of the armor is to gird up your loins with truth. So you need to go to Ephesians 6 because that's where this whole section is about the armor of God. And at various times, we've talked about what the armor of God is and how it is equal to putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and putting on the new man. Remember? How many of you were at the seminar we did about 2 years ago now, I think, on the armor of God? Ooh, okay, so this is not even going to be review. This is going to be new stuff. Well, that's good because we've been talking and thinking that we needed to review this again and go over each piece because during the seminar on that day in the Word, we crammed the whole thing into about 6 hours. So today we're going to just look at the first piece of the armor. So in Ephesians chapter 6, you can start in verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in what? In the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, so this is not our might. This is not our armor. There are certain things that we need to do that are related to the armor, but we don't make the armor. The armor is all that Jesus Christ is in us. And this section in Ephesians chapter 6 is really a summary of a lot of things that are in the epistles, especially the epistles that are written to us, that talk about who we are in Christ, the power we have, the strength that we have, the things that God has made available to us in that gift-wrapped package of Holy Spirit, which is what we have inside of us, Christ in you, right? Well, the part about the armor is putting on the outside what we have already on the inside. And this first piece, if you go down to verse 14, it says, stand therefore. Okay, so stand. That's what we're talking about here. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So this, having your loins girt about with truth, you have to picture the soldier. Remember the soldier? He has a helmet on. He has shoes on his feet that are like the sandals. And the breastplate is the whole mail coat, the tunic that was had metal in it that was protecting his upper body. The girdle is the belt, right, that goes around the tunic, and on the girdle would hang the sword. Okay, so the girdle is what basically holds it all together. If you didn't have the girdle there, you would have no place for your sword, and your tunic would be flopping around and go, you know, you wouldn't be able to fight in the battle. Okay, so this is a very crucial piece of the armor. And I think that's why it's put first also. I was thinking about the word girdle, and I just got this flashback to being at my grandmother's house when I was very young, and I don't recall a time ever seeing her where she didn't wear a girdle. In fact, I don't think that she ever even wore any pants until she was probably 75 or 80 years old. She always wore a skirt, and she always wore a girdle. And I remember seeing her struggle to get that girdle on, too. And now I kind of relate. Thankfully, we don't have to wear that many girdles and long dresses and all that so much every day. But I was thinking about the girdle because it holds things together. And the girdle, and when you say, you know, it's so that it won't be flopping around. Okay. When you say this phrase, gird up the loins, it's like an idiom. And an idiom is where it means something more than just the individual words. And we have some of our own idioms that are related to this. And one of them is you roll up your sleeves. Like I see Andrew, he's got his long shirt on, right? And he's got his sleeves rolled up, right? If you're a man and you're wearing long sleeves and you need to go to work, you just roll up your sleeves. Okay, now I'm ready. And that's part of the idea, is the idiom has the idea of to get ready for action, to be prepared. And another idiom would be brace your mind. All right, here we go. It's to get ready to do something difficult. I also thought about if you're an athlete or a runner and you're going to go run the race, right? So you get down and you say, on your mark, and then you get ready, right? You position your body so that it's ready to do something. And then when the gun goes off, bam, you know, you want to go as fast as you can away from that starting line. So on your mark, get set, go, right? The Hebrew idiom that this comes from means to make the source of your strength. It has to do with strength because the loins are the middle part of your body, right? And they're in a physical body, that's where your strength is. It's resident in this portion of your body. So to make the source of your strength, to be ready for action, you have to have strength be coming from somewhere. All right? And the somewhere that it's coming from is truth. Now, I'll talk about that in just a minute. But look at Psalm 18. This is just a really neat verse. Psalm 18, verse 32. Psalm 19 is all about how the Lord is a fortress. He's a rock. He's strong, right? We know that the Lord Jehovah is strong. But it says here in verse 32, it is God, it is El, the mighty God, that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Now, when it says perfect, it doesn't mean like perfect where you never make a mistake, but it means blameless. Where we can literally have our loins girt with God's truth and be upright and blameless before him. Why? Because we're perfect? No. Because we have his strength inside of us. He's the one who's strong. He's the one who we can rely on 100%. Remember one of our favorite verses about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, right? But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Well, have you ever thought, what are those weapons? Well, we know we have Holy Spirit. That's definitely a weapon. But these are saying the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning they're not physical. They're spiritual. And they're, I see this whole passage in Ephesians chapter 6 as being three main weapons that we have. And there's two pairs, the girdle and the sword. Remember, the sword hangs on the belt, right? It describes what the sword is the word of God, okay? But the belt, what you're supposed to have as the belt is also of the word of God. But it's word in a different sense, where the word truth, God's word is truth, right? You all agree? Okay. But this word truth has more the idea of truthfulness or integrity or reliability or faithfulness. So it's God's faithfulness to his word that holds it all together. Then you hang the word, and that word, which is the sword of the Spirit, is the specific word that you need in a given situation. And you can pull it out. Okay, I got the word that I need right now. But it's hanging on God's reliability, his faithfulness, the fact that he will never fail in any capacity. The Aramaic word for truth here is really interesting. It comes from a verb that means to shoot straight as an arrow. Picture, bow going back. Let the arrow go. It hits the bullseye every single time. That's the kind of truth it is, where there is no question that you could rely upon it. It hits the bullseye, so to speak. God says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, we're not going to look it up, but for I am the Lord, I what? Change not, right? He hits the bullseye with everything he does or says every time. That's why we could rely upon it. So, what does this particular piece of the armor go against? There are these six things that are in Ephesians 6 are the common temptations that we all face. And if there's something going on in our lives, we need to go through the pieces of the armor and say, which one am I not putting on here? Because they are specifically given to us so that we have a way to stand, right? Stand, therefore, with the whole armor of God. So if there's something going on in my life, I need to go through those pieces and say, which one don't I understand? And this particular one, the first one about girding your loins with truth, has to do with all the times when you get discouraged or depressed, or somebody says something like, well, that'll never work out. It has to do with all kinds of attacks by words. People in authority who speak words. For example, a doctor who gives a diagnosis and says, you have X. And you go, okay, well, that's what he said. You may even have the symptoms of it. But God says, I am the Lord that heals you. So it's a question then of that particular point of which words are you going to believe? Which words are you going to put around as your belt? And when we choose God's word to put around, then we end up having strength and have something to rely upon, which is often contrary to even our best friends, the whispers in our own minds. Yeah, well, you didn't really do that. How many times have you heard that whisper, right, about how you're not really good enough, you don't have the strength you need, you don't have the answers that you need? It's almost sometimes a constant whisper, just coming from our own minds, let alone someone else's talk. But another example is parents, what they say to their children. You'll never amount to anything. How come you always do that? You always have this, you know. Wait a minute. Well, a child who's 6 years old doesn't have the armor. They don't have a way to go against those words, so they fight them and deal with them all their life long to try to overcome the repercussions of that. Romans 3 talks about how the tongue is an unruly evil. And it's true. We speak evil against each other, even sometimes not intending to. So what do we do about that? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is just a really neat verse. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him are amen. And in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. I'm going to read the Aramaic to you. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, so it really explains who the in him is. It's in Christ. The promises of God in Christ are yes. Because of this, by way of him, we give an amen to the glory of God. The promise, yeah, amen. The promises of God in him, in Christ, are amen. The word amen even has to do with faithfulness. The root is the same in the Hebrew as the word faithful or having faith. So when we have a promise from God, then you can say yes and amen. One time when we did this teaching in fellowship about how God was faithful, and I had every time I said God is faithful, everyone would go amen. And I'm going to read a few verses that we were talking about that are similar to that, about how God is faithful. But I wanted to explain about this word promise. Okay, the promises of God are yes. Another verb in Aramaic is, for the word promise, has to do with a declaration. And it's also related to the same noun as king. So if you have a promise, it's like a king declared it. Now, if a king declared something, it would be absolute, right? And you could rely upon it. And you could know that if the king said it, it was going to happen. And that's the kind of promise this is. It's like the declaration of a king, where if God promises something, then he backs it up with everything that he is. That's why it's reliable. He is the king, in essence. You know, so if he promises something, it's yes. All right, we can do that. There's an example of, I was reading this story about a music teacher. And I don't know if you've ever heard little kids practicing the violin going, you know, or I used to give piano lessons when I was younger. And, you know, the poor little children were hitting every other note was wrong, you know, and you're just kind of going, oh. Okay, they'll get there. Amanda was telling me about, you know, her brother still saying, gosh, I'm so surprised you don't, you sound pretty good. She goes, yeah, but that was 20 years ago. You know, it was when I was learning how to play the viola. But anyway, a music teacher can take a tuning fork, right? A piano tuner can take a tuning fork. And they hit the tuning fork and go, ding! That is the note A. It's 440 vibrations per second. If you hit that tuning fork, it will do A every single time. You hit it over here, it'll do A. You take it to another room, you hit it, it'll do A. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, if you hit that tuning fork, that will be A. And everything else can line up to that A. Somebody playing the violin, somebody playing the piano, you're going to tune the piano, you're going to tune any kind of instrument, you have this standard, right? And that's the same thing with God, with his promises. They're a standard. They're there. Every time you hit that, if you hit it, it's going to be A. That's how reliable it is. In Deuteronomy 7:9, we're not going to look at that one right now either, but it says God is faithful and he has mercy that endures forever. His mercy, his steadfast love is unfailing. So those are the kinds of things that we're talking about here. When we gird up our loins with truth, we gird up our loins based on God's faithfulness. The fact that he is reliable. He never changes. And thus, his word never changes. You see? That's why we can rely upon the word, too. It's because it's backed up by everything God is. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. These are just some promises that we'll read that are about God's faithfulness and how we can rely upon it. 1 Corinthians 10. I think that this is a whole practical subject that is very, very important. Again, because We are tempted oftentimes to be discouraged, especially when things don't go the way we wanted them to go. You know, we have seen victories and victories and victories and victories. And we've also seen some people die, some people get sick, some people not have the answers that they needed to have. But the thing that I know and what keeps me going and keeps me wanting to just stand up here and keep preaching and keep saying and keep standing on the word is I know that God never changes. And if I don't see it, that's okay. I'm still going to preach that. And I'm still going to say, yes, you can be more than a conqueror and everything because God loves you. He has an answer. He has a way. And we have no idea sometimes how much he protects people and rescues them out of things. And that's what this verse in 1 Corinthians is talking about. Chapter 10, verse 13. I'll read it from here again. No temptation has come on you except of men, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted more than what you are able, but will make a way out of your temptation so that you will be able to endure it. God will always make a way to escape out of, he will make a way. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. Remember that great, great song too? Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning in you. Thou changest not, right? Yep, see, we start saying the words. And then when you're saying the words in your mind, it's like you're girding your loins with truth. You're repeating God's faithful words into your mind, and all of a sudden, things don't look so depressing. They don't look so bad. You say, wait, I do see a way out of there. You know, sometimes it's going around the corner, back here, this way, and then you go, oh, wow, God really was guiding me through this whole thing. It didn't seem like a straight shot, that's for sure. But, you know, he was with me all the whole time. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. This one's great. Faithful is he who called you, who will do this or do it. He will do it. He will have the action that will back up the promises. He's the king, right? He's the one who's in authority. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who will keep you and rescue you from the evil one. I think King James says he will establish you, right? The NASB, the New American Standard Bible, says he will strengthen you. He will keep you. He will strengthen you. He will give you the strength that you need. You can, if you've got notes you're taking, you can write down in 1 and 2 Timothy, there's five different verses that say the word is faithful. That's 1 Timothy 1:15, 3:1, 4:9, 2 Timothy 2:11, Titus 3:8. In 2 Timothy 2:11, it says he continues in his faithfulness. The word is faithful. The word is faithful. Did you hear it? The word is faithful. Okay. Now look at Philippians chapter 4, because I wanted to get to this one. Often we quote this verse. It's a very popular verse. Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, I can do all things, right? And when life is going great and when you're really on top of stuff and everything is going great, you're singing that song with gusto, right? What about the times where it's not going so great? Then it's awfully hard to go, I can do all things. I can't. No. It's hard to sing that song, right? Because if it's really all about me having strength, I'll tell you what, there have been so many times in my life where I completely ran out of strength and there wasn't any strength left. And so at that point to say I can do all things is not true. That's why I love the Aramaic, because it says, I find strength for everything in Christ who strengthens me. I find the strength. Jesus Christ, when he was in his earthly life, he relied on God's faithfulness. He did this. He girt his loins with truth. He made the source of his strength God's total reliability, his integrity, his faithfulness to every single promise that was regarding him. And Jesus Christ took that and said, yes, it's amen. And I'm going to live that. And I'm going to do every single thing that God says I can do. And he is the example of having that faithfulness to put on God's faithfulness, his integrity. And guess who we have in us? Christ. So all the strength that we need is actually in there. He never wavered. He always trusted. Every prophecy came true. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why it says that. But because it's in us, then all we have to do is make that the source of our strength. And so when we don't have the strength, and when it is tough, then we go seeking. What do I need, Father? Tell me the verses I need. Tell me what I need to do so I can get that girdle around there and hold it in. Because God is faithful. He's true. And our strength then starts to rest on us. The strength that's within us gets put on in our mind so that it's resting in us. And that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You have to read 2 Corinthians, and even just going through the book of Acts, you can see so many things that Paul and Peter and a lot of the other apostles went through, the believers went through. It was not always picnic time, you know, but they always were victorious. And this is what Paul says that happened to him, and he had probably the most things happen to him. He was beaten, he was thrown in the ocean, was reading one record in the book of Acts how he got stoned and they left him for dead laying outside the city. And all the believers did was they put a circle around him and they started praying. And he got up and walked away. That's amazing. But this is what he says, chapter 12, verse 9. And he said to me, this is what the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power, or my strength, is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will gladly boast in my weaknesses, so that the power or the strength of Christ will rest on me. And in Greek, the word rest means to fix a tent or have a habitation. In Aramaic, it means to overshadow or cover. So you get this picture of God's strength in Christ, which is in you, right, makes a tent over you and covers it. So when we don't have the strength, when we don't have the answers we need, then it's like it goes over and it overshadows us. The strength is filled up or it's matured in the midst of a weak situation. I thought of a really silly example, but we have this one tomato plant out. We have a couple tomato plants, and one of them is really producing a lot of tomatoes. And all of a sudden, all these bugs were eating the tomatoes, right? And some of the leaves started getting holes in them, and I'm going, no, you can't have my tomatoes. So I started waging a war on these bugs, right? And I didn't even know what kind of bugs they were. Anyway. I got the mail one day, and opened the mail, and there in the mail was this brochure with some guy had tested all sorts of natural products and weird combinations of things to go against different insects and, you know, fertilizer for all the plants. Anyway, I was reading through this book because it was fascinating, and I saw in there there's a recipe for tomato bugs. It's take a half a cup of hot sauce and 2 tablespoons of baby shampoo, dump it in a gallon of water, and spray on your plants. And I said, well, heck, I can do that. So I went to go get the hot sauce, and because I didn't want to use Glenn's special hot sauce. And and so I went to go get some hot sauce, did it, and do you know, those bugs are no longer on my tomatoes. I was so happy. It's a silly example, but to see in our lives, it's like we're like those tomatoes. God wants us to come to fruition so we can have fruit, we can have results, we can have things in our lives, right? And as soon as it starts ripening and starts getting to where there's this beautiful tomato, then all of a sudden that's when the attack comes of like, no, you're not going to get matured. No, we don't want you to come to fruition here. That's the adversary's plan, right? So instead, you just go with the word. Sorry, bugs, you die. I don't know. I told you it's a really silly illustration, but to me it just fit, you know? The joy of our Lord is our strength. God's mercies are new every morning. If God be for us, who can be against us? No one, right? No one, no one, no one. It's those kinds of things. See, even at the end of Romans 8, he goes, I am persuaded that nothing is going to separate me from the love of Christ. Nothing. I don't care what it is. It's not going to separate me. The Lord is my strength and my song. I have to end with one verse that you'll just really love. It's in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is all about the word. And if you ever want to get convinced about God's faithfulness to his word, just read the whole Psalm 119. Because every single verse is about the word. Psalm 119, and we're going to start in verse 89. I love this. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's settled. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. There's another verse that says God's faithfulness is to 1,000 generations. That's the one in Deuteronomy. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Well, if God established the earth, and it's stuck around, don't you think that his word is true, and he will back it up? He will be faithful to it. Verse 91, they continue this day according to thine ordinances. Because God set the sun in the sky. He put the stars up there. He set it. He set the earth on the exact right axis so that it would be perfect. And it continues, so will God. He will be something that we can rely on today. Well, we could rely on it yesterday, right? Okay, so now we can rely on it today and tomorrow and the tomorrow after that and the tomorrow after that and the tomorrow after that. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my affliction. God, what would we do without the word? Without having this beautiful written thing that we can come to all the time, you know, to rely upon. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I want to gird up my loins with truth. I want to put that girdle on that'll hold it all together. I want to have the strength that's Christ in me come out in my life, so when people look at me and say, that girl stands. She just stands, you know? And that's what we can do for each other too, is just really encourage each other, speak the word to each other. This week, you know, whatever situation someone is confronted in, go back to the word and say, God is faithful. Amen. He will stand behind his word, and he will never fail. He is totally reliable. And we can gain strength from that. So be strong in the power of his might.